Welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Peter Josling, PhD, biochemist, and director of Herbal Research Center in Sussex, England. And we've been talking about garlic and its medicinal benefits. And before the break, we talked about if we dissect a clove of garlic, you'll find all kinds of nutritional values, but you won't find an element called allicin. And it's not until you rupture the cells that two compounds come together and form this amazing medicinal element. And now it's very antiviral, it's antibacterial, antifungal. And Peter, we talked about if we ate too much raw garlic, that could be there could be health side effects to that. But on the other hand, allicin doesn't create that. Now, being antibacterial, is it going to affect our good bacteria in our gut?
Oh, that's a very good question. I can say quite categorically that the allicin does not kill healthy bacteria in the concentration at which it's delivered. So it's very clever at differentiating between good and bad bacteria. So your lactobacillus, your acidophilus, your bifidobacteria, which are friendly, it won't affect the way they replicate. In fact, what it will do is get into the gut, kill out the bad boys, like the E. coli, the salmonellas, the clostridiums, etc. But it will leave the friendly bacteria alone, so you will actually balance your gut much faster if you've become ill. So it's very cool in that respect. It leaves the friendly ones alone.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah. How does it behave with pharmaceuticals? It's like someone may be on prescriptions, and they say, man, this sounds pretty amazing. How's it going to work with that?
Actually, it's going to contribute to quite a lot of pharmaceutical agents and actually make them more efficient. Certainly antibiotics and certainly anti-cholesterol, anti-blood pressure drugs. The allicin will actually synergize and make those drugs a little bit more efficient. So you may be able to, A, reduce the dose of those pharmaceuticals, and B, you should get a quicker, faster result if you're already taking, let's say, an antibiotic and you add the Alimax into it. And these are all synergistic effects that have been proven and are in the patents that are held by the company that manufactures the Alimax.
Also with anybody going in for surgeries, I mean, there's always the risk of infection. We talk about C. diff and MRSAs and so on. How would garlic work in conjunction with someone going in for surgery?
Well, I think from our point of view, this is one of the main areas where the allicin is utilized.
Okay.
People are very worried about going into hospital and picking up, as you said, a Campylobacter, Clostridium, or MRSA, MRSA bacteria. And what happens is you can prevent that from happening if you take the allicin right the way up until the day before you go into hospital. Then you stop, you go in, you have your operation, and as soon as you come out of the recovery room, hopefully a relative is going to say, thank goodness you're okay, and you should then start taking the allicin again and continue that until you're well after you get home. And the reason for that is that it acts as a prophylactic, so it prevents you picking up an infection.
Yep.
Obviously, the hospital itself carries plenty of infectious organisms on the wards, on the beds, on the clipboards, on the equipment that's used, like the drains and the Hickman lines. But also, what people don't realize is that one in two healthcare workers, i.e. the doctors, the nurses, the cleaners, the radiographers, one in two of them carries a Staph aureus bacteria in their noses. And this has been proven in many, many screenings over the years. And the problem with that bacteria, which is the Staphylococcus aureus bug, is that it migrates. And it can migrate from one person to another. And if it gets into your wound, for example, which is healing, then it has the potential. It's potential. It doesn't always do this, but it can change its shape and structure. And instead of being what's known as a methicillin-sensitive organism, it becomes a methicillin-resistant organism, and that is MRSA.
Yeah,
and obviously, if you don't get rid of that, then that can have very significant bad consequences for you as a patient.
So there, you studied about 30 strains, haven't you?
300.
300 strains.
Not 30, no. Over 300 now. From all over the world. And every single strain of MRSA bacteria is always killed by the allicin, the stabilized allicin. And our guarantee to any retailer or customer is that every single batch of the allicin that's released for sale is tested against an MRSA bacteria before it's released. So we know that it will kill those bugs without any problem. What you have to do, of course, is to get the dose and the number of capsules right for each individual. So everybody is different, and that means some people you need to take it for a long time and some people for a shorter time.
And yet some of these MRSAs seem to migrate around the antibiotics and not even are touched by them.
They do. I mean, I'm obviously a biochemist, and a lot of my colleagues around the world will tell you that there are 7 or 8 strains of bacteria, MRSA is one of them, that really worry biochemists and microbiologists, because we have basically run out of pharmaceutical antibiotics that can kill them. So I can tell you that the MRSA bacteria, there's only 3 agents left that can kill MRSA. One is vancomycin, which is a really, really toxic antibiotic. It's actually able to kill you quicker than the bacteria, so you have to be very, very careful with it.
Yeah.
The other is a drug called Bactrosyn, and that's 75% resistant. In other words, it will only kill 1 in 4 strains of MRSA. And the other agent, which has so far shown no resistance whatsoever, is stabilized allicin. And that's why it's being used now in hospitals in the UK and Canada and America and in other parts of Europe as an alternative to be able to cure and get rid of these persistent bacterial infections.
Another serious problem I know we have in Canada is Lyme disease. And it's not just from ticks, is it?
No, it's ticks and spiders and flies. Lyme disease is prevalent in Canada, America, and now even the UK. The number of cases have increased, dramatically. That's partly because doctors are finally getting a little bit better at diagnosing this kind of immune problem. It's a very difficult disease to categorize, but one of our trials in 11 Lyme-positive sufferers, they all became Lyme-negative in just 8 weeks. Using Alimax as the antibiotic. They had to add in a multi-mineral and multivitamin and drink lots of water, but that protocol actually treated them, and for the first time in years, instead of being chronic Lyme sufferers, they became IgG, we call it negative, and there was no Lyme in their bloodstream. So we know that it works, and it's very, very efficient for something like Lyme disease, which, as you rightly say, is not only caused by ticks, but by spiders and flies and other creatures that can bite you out in the woods quite easily.
Also, in the hospitals, there's protocols now. Everybody's to wash their hands or use the antibacterial gels and so on. But yeah. C. difficile is pretty serious. How does the Alimax and the Allicin work with that?
These bacteria are very difficult to get rid of, generally speaking. They're also very difficult to culture. So it's very difficult to realize what patients carry them and what patients don't. However, in all of the tests that have been done, we've seen that the allicin responds much better than all other conventional, if you like, antibiotics. So C. difficile, doesn't matter what kind of strain, MRSA, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is a difficult bug to kill, there's Acinetobacter baumannii, which kills people very quickly with a horrible chest infection. All of these are known as escape pathogens by the CDC down in the US, and they're seen as being the most dangerous pathogens in the world. And all of them have been shown in controlled evaluations to be killed by allicin in a dose which is delivered from each capsule of Alimax. So in other words, if you take enough of the Alimax, you will get rid of these pernicious bacterial infections. And the same is true with viruses and also with funguses. So we really do have what's known as an antimicrobial agent. In other words, it kills all three, which is kind of unusual.
You also have it in a gel, don't you? Like as a topical.
We do, yeah. I mean, yeah, to me the gel is fantastic. It's something you need to keep with you at all times. It's great for cuts and bruises, bites, wounds, stings, but it's also incredibly good at almost anything topical on your body that's caused by a fungus, a virus, a bacteria, or a parasite. And that means, you know, from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes, you can use this gel topically. You can also use it internally because it's aloe vera and allicin, so it can be put into any orifice. For example, it's great for gingivitis, bad gums. It's really good for herpes, cold sores around the lips. It's fantastic up the nose to get rid of bacterial infection, like Staphylococcus aureus that we mentioned earlier. It's superb on your face to get rid of acne. And you can also get rid of things like psoriasis, eczema, impetigo, rosacea, warts, whether they be facial or on the hands or feet or even genital. Why? Because all of these things are caused by or worsened by bacterial, fungal, or viral co-infection. For example, acne. It's not an obvious one, is it? But that's caused and made more difficult to treat by a secondary infection caused by that Staphylococcus aureus bacteria migrating from your nose down onto the acne pimples. And that means it doesn't matter what cream you go and buy from the drugstore, if it can't kill Staph aureus, it isn't going to help your acne. Whereas we know, of course, from testing, as I mentioned, that the allicin will do that. So you've only got to persevere, and you'll find the gel is, for me, it's a wonder product, absolutely brilliant stuff.
Amazing as this is with all these dynamic, very serious ailments like Lyme disease, C. diff, MRSAs, it does wonders with the common cold, doesn't it? But
exactly.
Also, it's also very good for our pets too, isn't it?
It's very good for animals. It's very good for preventing the common cold.
Yeah.
We have a double-blind placebo-controlled study that shows if you take just one Allimax per day, you are 60% less likely to catch a cold, even in your very, very cold Canadian winters.
Yeah.
Right? 60% reduction is remarkable. And, you know, if you continue to take it all year round, the vast majority of people who keep taking it just do not get colds.
Peter, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you for taking the time.
That's been my pleasure. It's been a great, very fast 30 minutes. So, thank you very much indeed for inviting me on. And I'm more than happy to come back at some stage in the future if you would like.
I would love to have you back. Thank you again. I've been talking with Peter Josling, PhD biochemist, director of Herbal Research Center in Sussex, England. And Allimax, you can get that at The Healthy Habit. And while quantities last, we have a copy. We have several copies of Peter's book, Stabilized Allicin, Power Performance Proof. And any Allimax product that you buy will include a free book. And again, that's while quantities last. Now, as I was browsing through the book, I found 70 different things that this allicin is very beneficial for. I mean, things like heart disease, candida, cholesterol, blood pressure, even lice. I mean, you talk about kids in the going back to school, and there always seems to be a minor epidemic of it. So lots of wonderful benefits. So you've been listening to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit. At The Healthy Habit, we help you to help yourself one step at a time toward a healthy habit.